Case number 09-7021. In re Peter Paul Matrena, respondent. For the respondent, Mr. Matrena.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Peter Matrena. I humbly come before you today to ask respectfully that you end a nightmare wrongfully directed at me by a justice system that has been in a sleeping state when due diligence is needed. There are unjustifiable miscarriages which were the basis of the wrongful proceedings against me. A clearly false allegation of forgery which brought great prejudice. An indefensible failure of the agents of the bar to seek the public records vindicating me. And I'd like to address the matter dealing with the contradictions in the decision itself. The decision itself is just inconsistent. And there's one place there I failed to bring it up in the briefs, but it's at 952 Atlantic 2nd at 951. It says there was scant documentary evidence that Mr. Bayarik was either the president or executive vice president of Dano after the period November 18th, 1982, to October 17th, 1985, and the implication being that the evidence, at least according to the District of Columbia Court of Appeals, was that there was more than scant documentary evidence that he held a position of executive vice president or president during that period up to 1985. And then if you go over to 952 Atlantic 2nd at 922, 923, they contradict that statement. They say he wasn't... at the time of the retainer agreement was signed, he did not hold a position. And that's one of the, if you even put aside my due process arguments and look at what position did Michael Bayarik hold, I think the evidence is clear. If you look at the written corporate records and the depositions that Mr. Bayarik gave in 1986, and then also the testimony before the Board of Contract Appeals in 1989, he said he was vice president. And the corporate records from the state of Delaware, which is response exhibit number 41, shows that he was the executive vice president. And the decision at page 916 refers to Mr. Maller saying that there were no changes in the corporate structure, and the testimony I referred to in my brief goes back to Mr. Maller saying there were no changes in the corporate structure from 1983 on. And if you take that together, along with showing that Mr. Williams held the position of president, Mr. Bayarik also held the position of executive vice president. And those are major contradictions, which there's some testimony going against the corporate records, but I think there's a grave injustice here, and that's part of it.
Excuse me.
No problem. The other major issue is, if you read the theme of the board's decision, which is part of the Court of Appeals ruling, that it is that the money belonged to other people, and such as Mr. Williams, Williams Industries, and Mr. Jones, Philip Jones. And the D.C. Court of Appeals said that was not proven. I quoted that the money belonged to Dano. And if you take that further, The District of Columbia Court of Appeals says that I should have known that the money was not to be paid to me because others had made a claim to it. But just because others had made a claim to it, if they were not entitled to it, that does not put me on notice that they should have received the money, because the D.C. Court of Appeals clearly said no one else proved that they were entitled to the money or had just claimed. It's according to the In re Bailey case that cited in the briefs. And that's a very key element, because without that, there's no intent on my, there's no intent in the record. I did not testify. There's no intent in the record, as far as I'm concerned. There's a letter that they referred to that was, that I wrote in December of 1997, which the D.C. Court of Appeals, I, with all due respect, misquoted. The full quote is in the board's decision, but I never said there were, that people were to be paid out of those proceeds. I stated that people, those other money due other people, is basically what I stated. But there was an allegation that the fee was unreasonable that was paid to me. But there was no proof offered on that issue. And the board found that I was not guilty of receiving an unreasonable fee. So the issue is whether Dano can pay me a fee that is greater than the original fee agreement, and I think it's clear that they can. They can modify, just because it's an attorney-client contract, it still can be modified. And Dano did not file a bar complaint in this case, and since Dano did not file it, there's a couple of cases I referred to, but basically Dano could complain, but since Dano didn't complain, nobody else can really complain about that one issue as far as myself as the attorney being paid more than the original fee agreements. I pause in case you have any questions.
Any questions?
I have more to say, but I just want to.
Okay.
I know,
but, seeing none.
Okay. The fact that I was hauled in before the board, you know, on the complaint there, which was that I committed forgery, misdirected my efforts. If you read the specification of charges, it basically accuses me of forgery. And I presented my defense based upon a factual forgery charge. And bar counsel discussed with my expert prior to the hearing. And in that hearing, it was found there was no clear evidence that I committed forgery. So that was found in my favor. And then bar counsel switched gears during the hearing. And there's no factual basis in the specification of charges for the allegation that Mr. Barrick did not have authority to write the check to me. So as a due process issue, I was without notice of that issue. I did ask for a continuance at the hearing. I was repeatedly denied a continuance. I was denied extra time to present other witnesses. I contend that's a serious violation of my rights, because I'm entitled to know going into the matter, just like the Supreme Court said in In re Ruffalo, what the allegations are against me. And at the beginning of my argument, I addressed, even without the due process arguments, if you go through that decision, it's really two decisions in one, and there's contradictions there. And the important elements are, there's no intent on my part in the record. I did receive a check, but if I receive a check that's payment of legal fees, I'm entitled to spend it. And that is not, a check that's paid for legal fees would be misdirected if it went into a trust account, because if it's legal fees, it's not supposed to go into a trust account. And if it's a combination of legal fees and the client's money, it is to go to a trust account. But in this case, Mr. Barrick, who is the executive vice president, endorsed the check as legal fees, and that's what the check says to me. That's the way I see the case.
Well, your time is finishing, so you're finishing, and everything's coming out even. So thank you, Mr. Matrano. The case will be submitted. Give us recess.